Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
What's that? Who pays your salary? What's that? Who pays? What's that?
We're not a democracy!
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network.
Welcome back to Land of Bourbon and Bad Decisions. This is the Tyler Morgan Show live on twitch.tv/Tyler Morgan Show, or maybe you're checking this out on YouTube if there's not an interruption in the stream causing gaps in the live stream, therefore gaps in the video, therefore nothing worth putting on YouTube or Rumble or youtube.com/@TheTylerMorganShow. I don't know why I have to have the. Don't know why I have to have the app, but hey, that's just how it works for YouTube and Rumble.com. Just go there and search for The Tyler Morgan Show or Relentless Daring. Either way, you'll find my glorious mug. Before I get into the wackiness of the week, first of all, let me tell you about beard oil. Yes, I know if you're seeing my glorious mug, you'll notice that a significant portion of my beard has been removed, and I now have just a very long goatee, which if I want to make my daughter cringe, I send her pictures of it braided. Why would I make my daughter cringe? I don't know. I'm a dad. It's part of like telling dad jokes, trying to make people just all cringy and stuff. It's part of the relationship with my daughter, make her cringe. But if I want to keep even this glorious goatee in good health and well taken care of, I still have to treat it with beard oil. And the beard oil of that I prefer over everything else is from Blue Collar Beardsmen. Blue Collar Beardsmen is a small, you know, homegrown company made by a guy who, aside from making beard oil, he knows all about blue collar work. I mean, he started off out of high school doing HVAC and then went on to make his own company of installing air conditioners and furnaces and stuff. He knows about hard work, and he knows about the hard work that he had to put into developing this line of beard oil. And on top of it, they have more than just beard oil. You can also get beard butters, which, again, just like the beard oil, conditions and helps your beard stay nice and healthy. It also gives it a little bit of hold for some styling reasons. Like, you know, maybe you want to kind of go for a little curly cues on your mustache or whatever. It helps with that. And now, through their website, you can get beard wash and beard conditioner that is unscented. So that way, you're not using a shampoo and conditioner that's going to interfere with your preferred scent of beard oil. Check out their full lineup of beard oils, their beard butters, their new beard wash and conditioner. You can buy just the wash, just the conditioner, or you can get the set. Either way, check it out. Sign up for a subscription, and every month you will get a new limited edition scent sent to you. I had to stop about thinking on that one for a second. But check them out today, bluecollarbeardsman.com. All right, so getting into all the wild and wacky news. It's not so much wild. Well, it's kind of wild. Definitely not very wacky, but I would be remiss if I did not talk about the ship crash that happened earlier this week. As you probably heard, a cargo ship leaving the port of Baltimore lost power and collided with one of the pylons that holds up the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and it collapsed the entire bridge. Six presumed dead, two have been recovered, and you know, one seriously injured but alive. The other somehow, by the grace of God, without injury. And you know, these are heroes who are on that bridge. I am not going to deny that for one bit, because they heard the radio traffic of the ship captain calling out the Mayday, saying, hey, we're having problems, we're losing power, we can't control the ship. And these construction workers who were doing road work at the time on the bridge stopped the traffic on the bridge. So there's no civilian traffic moving across it. And then, you know, when the ship collides, they all go into the water. And, you know, there's still some people presumably trapped in the construction vehicles that they will not be able to get to until they begin removing the debris. And so, you know, my thoughts and prayers, my most sincere thoughts and prayers go out to the family members of those who were killed and injured from the, you know, both the on the ship crew, the workers on the bridge at the time. You know, I cannot imagine what it would be like to have one of the most devastating moments in your life that is part of, you know, a viral news phenomenon. And I do have a lot of questions. And rightfully so. I'm you know, until a concrete proof against my opinion comes out, I'm going to hold to this opinion. And keep in mind, this is just mere speculation on my part. I don't have any inside sources that tell me otherwise, but it's just one of those things that you can't help but think about. We live in such an interconnected world. You have these massive ships that can be controlled remotely if need be. All it takes is someone to, you know, beam them a GPS signal with the waypoints that they need to hit, the speeds they need to be going, what heading for the ship to be on. And these things can self-pilot. These things are so interconnected that they can be hacked from outside the vessel. The communications within these vessels are so advanced. So, and this is my Alex Jones tinfoil hat area, but I believe, not based on any evidence, this is just my speculation, this ship was a victim of a cyber attack. It was designed more, less to take out the bridge and more to kind of probe the vulnerabilities of these vessels. It's not the first time we've seen this happen. There's been civilian container ships that have, you know, have had these issues near China. Now, there's a U.S. Navy vessel that, you know, now the Navy says, well, the problem was we had had new equipment for the helm and on the bridge, and it was installed, but no one was trained on how to operate it, and so, you know, that's the reason why it started steering itself in a weird direction and eventually crashed into a civilian vessel. in the South China Sea. And I have a friend who is a chief petty officer in the Navy, and I respect him 100%. I respect his opinions on these things 100%. And he 100% buys the Navy's official line that, well, the contractors during a refit installed this equipment, didn't properly train the operator, and just said, go about your merry way. Don't crash the vessel. Bye. Have fun. And I know the Occam's razor way of, you know, kind of parsing this information would say that that's the most likely case, but China is a very, they're very determined, I'm not going to call them an enemy, but opponent. We'll call them an opponent. So who's to say that China or Russia, one of these foreign adversaries, wouldn't try to hack into a civilian vessel moving through a very key waterway, probing the security that the vessel uses, maybe not necessarily trying to take out the bridge. I honestly do not believe the bridge was an intended target. I believe that the ship's power was targeted as part of a cyber attack. The crew, working their butts off, got it running again. And you can tell the engines kick back on the video because you see this plume of exhaust come out the top of the ship from the engines kicking back on, because those are some really big freaking engines. Because if you don't know this about these vessels, they're not actually engine driven. The engines on these vessels are massive generators. I'm talking like V16. You can find them as, you know, the kinds of generator sets that they use to run military bases in Iraq and Afghanistan. Just huge things that on land are usually, you find them in a shipping container. But, you know, you can see the smoke from the engines firing back up because the crew's like, oh my God, we just lost power. We need to get this thing going again. And it wasn't just they lost power to the bridge. They lost power to the navigation. Because both of these engines went down, they lost every bit of power. They got it up again, and then the power goes right back out. Almost like someone is trying to be like, ha ha, no. And then, you know, the icing on the cake for this cyber attack in the middle of the night was the fact that it careened off course. And while the ship was not moving very fast, because, you know, there's, you know, regulated how fast they can travel while inside the harbor itself. The captain gave the order to drop anchor and try to get the boat to stop and swing away from the bridge. Unfortunately, the anchor didn't have time to really dig into the ground, and it slammed into the bridge. And now you have, you know, people in the know. You have experts saying, well, it'll take over a decade to rebuild the bridge. What happened to America's spirit? America's can do. You know what? We've got the stick-to-itiveness stick-to-itiveness enough that 10 years, my ass, we built this bridge in like 4. So we're going to try to put it up in 3. Where is that attitude? And I get it, you know. Maryland is probably chock full of labor unions, and for the obviously the steel workers, the road workers, and everyone involved.
Well, you're gonna have to pay this much in overtime, and then you know, city of Baltimore, Maryland, the federal government's gonna balk, and so kind of like rebuilding after 9/11 took forever because you had all these fights over how much they're going to pay for material, how much they're going to do spend on X, Y, Z, what's the labor going to cost. It took forever for the Freedom Tower to get built. And whatever they're going to rename the new bridge, the Freddie Gray Memorial Bridge, as opposed to Francis Scott Key, because did you know that Francis Scott Key owned slaves? Oh my gosh. Forget the fact that he wrote the Star-Spangled Banner, the poem that was set to a drinking, that was later set to a drinking song and became our national anthem. The fact that he was a key eyewitness to the battle at Fort McHenry when it was being shelled by British Navy ships all night long. And he went to bed expecting, you know, he was on a British ship because he was there trying to negotiate for the release of POWs. And they said, and once they said, oh, we're going to attack, ah, crap, that lawyer knows about what's going to happen. Hey, Frank, you're staying here tonight. So he watches the shelling of Fort McHenry and eventually says, there's no way it's going to hold up. And he went and he laid down in the stateroom and he got up the next morning, he went and looked out and that massive flag flying over Fort McHenry was there. And he was so moved, he sat down, he wrote a poem about it. Why do we have to solely his history with the city of Baltimore because of his sins from, you know, 200 years ago? Why should we have a George Floyd Memorial Bridge? It's bad enough he has statues during COVID when you couldn't go to your own family's funeral. He had 3 of them and they were massive affairs. Why would we pick someone so just trash as a human being? Freddie Gray, while his death was a tragedy, because you know he was in police custody, but he was like throwing himself against the walls in the back of that paddy wagon. He damaged himself to the point that he died. But it's the police's fault because he was in their custody at the time. But that doesn't mean, you know, a career criminal like Freddie Gray should have a bridge named after him. This will honestly probably get named the Pete Buttigieg Bridge. But it's ridiculous. There's no reason why it should take 10, 15 years to build the bridge. They have the plans on how they built the last one. Maybe spend 6 months trying to find a better way to shore up the base of those pylons. So that way, maybe if another ship loses power, They lose navigation, whatever, while going through the bridge
should something bad happen, like a collision, the entire thing doesn't come down. And speaking of coming down, if you've been living in the world, you know about inflation. You've seen what inflation does. You aren't just getting some vagary of,
well, when you have more money than you have supplies available,
or however they describe it. If you had too many dollars chasing too few goods, then the price of the goods go up and it affects how many dollars it takes to purchase the goods. Well, there's some brain trust in the world who come up with some really, really crazy ideas. And one of these really, really crazy ideas, as reported in AP, an article by Paul Weissman that came out, at 6:12 this morning, that this is the actual headline. Who wouldn't like prices to start falling? Careful what you wish for, economists say. They're basically saying that right now they acknowledge that we still are dealing with inflation. Now, while the rate of inflation is not as high as it was, we're still dealing with inflation. It's just not as much. And they said disinflation is what the technical name for that is. But anyways, many Americans are in a sour mood about the economy for one main reason. Prices feel so high. Maybe they're not rising as fast as they have been, but the average prices are still painfully above where they were 3 years ago. And they're mostly heading higher still. Consider a 2-liter bottle of soda. In February 2021, before inflation began heating up, it cost an average of $1.67 in supermarkets across America. 3 years later, that bottle is going for $2.25, a 35% increase. Or egg prices. They soared in 2022. Yeah, when all the fires were happening at the chicken processing plants and the chicken farms where the eggs are collected. Yeah, it was kind of a big deal. Then fell back down. Yet they're still 43% higher today than they were 3 years ago. Likewise, average used car price, $23,000 in February 2021 to $31,000 April 2022. By last month, the average is down to $26,752, but that's still up 16% from February of 2021. Wouldn't it be great if prices actually fell, what economists call deflation? Who wouldn't want to fire up a time machine, return to the days before the economy rocketed out of the pandemic recession and sent prices soaring? Okay, the economy didn't rocket out of a recession. People eventually started going back to work. The supply chain kind of got back on track. So eventually the economy would have recovered from the COVID shutdowns and the COVID recession. The problem was we had the federal government involved. The federal government. And we also had the Federal Reserve. Not to be confused with the federal government. The Federal Reserve is a quasi-governmental organization. Usually with people from like the 5 biggest banks in America voting on economic policy that favors them, but kind of pisses on everybody else. Such as printing a crap ton of money, the federal government authorizing the spending of a crap ton of money, therefore it has to be printed. The banks involved with the Fed make out like bandits. Meanwhile, you and I are... We're given, oh, well, here's $1,400 in COVID assistance. I hope you have a nice day. We flooded the economy with money, especially when money is not backed by anything. So now you have a crap ton of money that wasn't there before. And so now, because there's so much money, prices go up because you, again, too many dollars chasing too few goods. Now, normally what the Fed would do to kind of keep inflation in check is they have these things that they use to make money from other banks called interest rates. Normally what they would do to suck money in off the economy would be to raise the interest rates. That's the reason why during the Reagan administration, you had people buying homes at like 18% interest, because the Fed had raised the interest rates so high to try to draw in all this excess money from during the Carter administration and the Ford and the Nixon and the Johnson and the Kennedy. Yeah, okay, not so much Kennedy, definitely back to the Johnson administration. Because, you know, during Carter, we had stagflation. So much money was being printed and stuff was getting just ridiculously priced that nothing was selling. It just, the economy stagnated because the inflation was so bad. But wouldn't it be great if prices actually fell? What the economists call deflation. I already talked about those halcyon days. Or at least prices are now rising more slowly. What's called disinflation. Ah, I was right. On Friday, for example, the government said a key price gauge rose 0.3% in February, down from a 0.4% gain in January. And compared to a year earlier, where prices were up 2.5% and way down from a peak of 7.1% in mid-2022. But it's, as people are just going on, that you were wrong for wanting actual inflation to go down. When you want those inflation numbers start hitting in the negatives into deflation, because then excess money is being sucked in off the economy. Most Americans are not just looking for disinflation. Lisa Cook, member of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors, said last year, they're looking for deflation. They want these prices to be back where they were before the pandemic. Many economists caution, though, that consumers should be careful what they wish for. Falling prices across the economy could actually be an unhealthy sign. And it actually goes to say that it was deflation that was a huge problem with the Great Depression. Well, not really. There was a deflation that led up to it, because, you know, you had the Roaring Twenties, and then the Fed's like, they didn't slowly raise interest rates, they just, bam! Causing so much money to be drawn in such a short amount of time, you know, on October 29th, when the stock market opened, everyone was selling. No one was buying stocks. They were selling. Because, okay, that's really weird that have all this stuff going on. So, yeah, they became nervous. And that's what people do when you start raising interest rates irresponsibly. That way, you know, you can suck that money in. But if you do it too fast, you know, people, especially in the investment world, which is what drives a lot of the economy. You heard it said through other administrations.
Oh, yeah, the Dow's at an all-time high, but the Dow's not the economy. The Dow's not reflective of the economy.
Well, it kind of is. Because when people have the extra money because, I just tripped over a pile of cash because they printed so much damn money, they do stuff with it. And they expect consumer spending to keep driving the economy forward. The more consumer spending, the more people out there frivolously throwing their cash to the wind, the better off we are. That's how economists look at it.
And, well, if you have deflation, then consumer spending is going to go down. People won't buy houses because they can wait and the price will be lower.
Oh, my gosh. But you know what? As prices come down, you know what people are more likely going to do? They're going to go, oh my gosh, these new cars are $5,000 less than the last model year. And you get the same, get all the same gadgets and doodads. I will spend this, or I will take a loan out and borrow this money to go buy this thing because it's cheaper than the last model year.
And they say, well, people will wait because they know that the prices will continue to go down.
Yeah, they will play a game. They might gamble that, okay, well, maybe I'll hold off for a month, see what the price does. You know, maybe this is just it bottoming out right now. Maybe in a month it'll be the same price. If not, I'll go ahead and buy a little bit cheaper. It's not going to affect the economy on near as massive a scale unless the interest rates get so high, like I said, they're just sucking so much cash in from the economy, it caused it just kind of peter out. I don't see that happening. When the prices go down, there won't be a bunch of people scared to spend money. You'll have the Wall Street crowd scared to spend their money. But average everyday Americans who they look at a $400 grocery bill and they go, oh dear God, I remember this was a $200 grocery bill. Those people will be the ones most likely going to be dumping money into the economy. And yeah, there will be some other economic indicators. Wages will probably take a hit because, again, if the cost of living goes down, new hires will probably face lower starting pays because, the cost of labor isn't as expensive now. Anywho's, I'm going to take a quick break and I will be right back.
Finding your perfect home was hard. But thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, so getting back into things, before I go into some political stuff out of the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, let me talk to you about coffee. Yes, that's right. I know above my head I have all of these bottles of whiskey, but coffee is where it's at. I love coffee. It gets me going in the mornings. It keeps me going at work. And sometimes when I get home from work, because I'm not a huge drinker, I unwind with probably one cup to one pot of coffee, depending on how stressful the day was. And my favorite coffee is from American Pride Roasters. American Pride Roasters is a small company based out of Runnels, Iowa. Every batch is roasted with love on formerly hand-built roasting equipment. I don't know what kind of, if it's commercial equipment that Dave bought after the tornado. But either way, he still roasts the coffee with love. He works really hard to find a good blend of beans, especially when he comes up with new flavors of coffee for you. Right now, I have been drinking the OG blend of Washington Crossing the Delaware. If you remember, the OG blend was kind of a whoopsie. His wholesaler sent the wrong beans, and he's like, you know what? I have them. I'm going to use them. And I absolutely love this blend. It's what I've been drinking for the last few days. And it's a bag. I found it still sealed in the cabinet. It's like, you know what? This is mine. Of course it's mine. I bought it. Weird. Got into it, and that flavor still hits just like it did. And I bought a batch, or I first bought it, you know, last year. I think it was last year I got it. I bought a lot of coffee from APR, so I really don't remember when it was I got it. But regardless of when I ordered it, it's still great, still has that amazing flavor, and Dave just put so much work into it. So check them out, aprcoffee.com. They have regular unflavored coffees. They have the flavored coffees, like the sweet dessert-type coffees. Yeah, they have a macadamia nut coffee if you like macadamia nuts with your coffee. Check out the At The Mic blend. They also have coffee drops. Yeah, you know, well, you get a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of caffeine, because it's got, like, I believe, ground espresso bean in it, and such good stuff. Check them out today, aprcoffee.com. Historically, great coffee. All right, so, the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Many of you have heard of this great state, mostly because of its reptilian senator, Mitch McConnell. Well, Mitch McConnell earlier this year has decided that he's going to step down as the minority leader, which, good for America, till they selected another rhino who's more interested in lining his own pockets than upholding the Constitution. But that's neither here nor there. And contrary to what some people are saying, the GOP-controlled House and Senate did not use Mitch McConnell's obvious health issues. For those of you listening on audio, that was me pretending to be Glitch McConnell having a glitch moment. Back to the opinions. So, contrary to belief, with the obviously his age, obviously, you know, Mitch McConnell's been having his little glitchy moments where he just kind of stops. But that is not the reason why the GOP-led House and Senate decided they're going to take some power from Governor Andy Beshear. See, when Governor Andy was elected and reelected, he never specifically outright said that, yes, the law is whatever party the an outgoing senator or representative belongs to, if they have to resign or, God forbid, there's a serious health issue or they die, if the party, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats, will send a list of three names that they have vetted, so I'm sure they're going to be rhinos too, to the governor, and the governor will go, eeny, meeny, miny, that one. Governor Beshear's never offered any sort of guarantees that, yes, he will uphold the law, and that is exactly what he will do in the event that Glitch or anyone else steps down. So the House put forth a bill that passed by overwhelming majority that should there be a vacancy in a federal office, instead of going to the governor's office, the state will hold a special election. And it went forward to the Senate, and the Senate said, we like this bill, and they too passed it by overwhelming majority. And when I say overwhelming majority, it doesn't matter if Brashears, you know, does the virtue signal and vetoes it, because, and this is his words, they're trying to strip me of power. Good. All executives, be they governors, be they mayors, be they the president of the United States, should have less power than they currently do. And taking it out of the hands of the governor, I think is good for both sides, because then you can say, okay, Mitch McConnell has officially stepped down due to health reasons. The seat is vacated. Now we're going to hold a special election. You can get a slate of candidates for both parties and let the people decide. And Andy Beshears pointed out the fact that,
well, I was reelected, so that must mean I'm doing something right because the people put me back here.
Well, you look at your state house, look at the Senate, look at the overwhelming majority of GOP seats. These are relatively small population centers that are kind of weighted against in, you know, the governor's race, when, you know, you have Owensboro, Louisville, Frankfort, and Lexington. And Lexington especially puts an undue influence on the governor's race, because, you know, they're such huge population centers compared to the rest of the state. Ooh, pardon me, had a little bit of the yawns there. So, really, you know, any candidate who gets elected as governor in the state of Kentucky, they're representing a relatively small portion of the state based on how they get elected. But no, Andy, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry that they're taking one of your toys from the toy box, because, you know, man, you can't say that you won't shoot your eye out with the Nerf gun, so they have to take the Nerf gun. You didn't say you wouldn't go after the neighborhood cats with the slingshot, so they had to take the slingshot. This is a fact of life. If you serve anywhere in government that seems to have an extraordinary amount of power at your disposal, you should hope one of the checks and balances, whether it be the state judiciary, whether it be the state house or the state senate, is willing to put you in check. Not that, you know, you're doing a bad job, but if you don't have the temptation to use those powers, then you're probably going to do a better job, because you're not going to, you'll look at these powers that you have and go, ooh, imagine all the things I could do with that. It would be so amazing. And then they take it from you and go, oh, crap. dropping my mouse. When they take those powers from you, then you're obviously not going to abuse them, because how are you going to abuse a power that has been stripped from you? And this is a power that was afforded to the governor by whom? Oh, the State House. So the State House has every right to go, okay, you know, we passed this law. He's not openly acknowledged that he will obey the law and that he's not just going to do his own thing. So we're going to stop him from abusing it. That just goes to show, if you got upset that they stopped you from abusing a law, odds are you are probably going to abuse or break the law anyways. If you get upset about it when they do a preemptive strike and they take it from you. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and knock out this spiel right now. If you are new to the show, and whether you're watching it on YouTube or Rumble or on the podcast, please subscribe. If you're on Rumble or YouTube watching this, please, you know, like I said, subscribe, hit the bell, get notifications, like the video. Liking the video is always good, because then it helps the algorithm point it to other people who are checking out similar content. As with the podcast side of it, if you're a new podcast listener, thank you so much for joining me. I hope this has been as fun for you as it was for me. Glad you're here. You're awesome. But I ask the same four things every week. I already mentioned one, hitting the old subscribe or follow button if you're listening to this on the Apple Music, because they like to be different. Once you have subscribed or followed, please do item number two, and that would be to rate this show. I'm looking for 5 stars. I will accept 4. Anything below that, check me out on Twitter at @FakeTylerMorgan. My DMs are open. Please, in a nice way, say why you thought I should have a 3 or below. And if you're especially snotty about it and kind of hateful, believe me, I will make fun of you. It's what I do. I enjoy making fun of people who think they're getting one over on me. Just part of who I am. Once you have rated, please write a review. Say something nice. You know, kind of fluff a little bit. You know, don't get carried away. Don't write this, you know, great Western novel about how great the show is. I mean, while I would appreciate it, and my ego would definitely enjoy a great stroking from such a review. Just a little embellishment is good. Don't get carried away. Anyways, after you have subscribed, rated, and reviewed, please share this episode or a link to the podcast in general to someone who you think will enjoy it. Because, you know, if you think someone's going to enjoy it, what better way to say, hey, I get how you think. I found this guy. He's not the normal talking head that you hear on the radio or see on TV all the time. He's just a regular dude offering his opinion. Believe me, sharing it helps, because you know, the more people listen, whether it be from shares or what have you, you know, combine that with the likes and the subscription numbers, the ratings, the reviews, as the algorithm starts spitting this out, it'll spit it out more often to people listening to other conservative talk. So believe me, I look forward to one day having someone out of the blue who's never seen the show, listen to the show, go, hey, I stumbled across this. The algorithm gave it to me. It's really good. I look forward to those days. And through you helping me, we can make it happen. If you care to support the show, please, patreon.com/Tyler Morgan Show. Go there, subscribe for as little as $5. And that $5 will go into help keeping this thing on the air. And also, you'll get ad-free content. Sure, you'll get the live reads that I do, but you won't get the YouTube ad in the middle. That's, you know, part of the live stream. You won't get those. You won't get the mid-roll ads from Acast because, you know, they're, you know, ad-free for a reason. So please subscribe. Some other things you can donate to the show. I believe I have links at relentlessdaring.com. You can go there and send money to help keep the show going. Again, I've been asked a million times, oh, I bet you make a lot of money on the podcast. No, I don't. The majority of this is out of my own pocket. So that's the reason why donations and buying merch, subscriptions at Patreon, that's why it means a lot to me. Because, you know, it makes it a little bit easier when the show is self-funding. So I'm not going to sit here and beat you up and say, you need to give me money. No. You don't have to give me squat. I will continue to do this for free, and my wife will continue to go, you bought what? It cost how much? Are you getting any sort of ROI on that? Well, I know, DIY. Thanks, Ryan! Yeah, it's how it is. But again, thank you so much to everyone who listens to the show, watches the show, whether you throw a nickel my way or you just continue to freeload off of all my hard work. I appreciate every last one of you. Now, before I go, the date on my computer as I record this is March 30th. That means tomorrow morning will be Resurrection Sunday. Tomorrow will also be the Trans Day, blah, blah, blah. I actually have to look this up because it's the International Transgender Day of Visibility, referred to the TDOV or Trans Day of Visibility, is an annual event occurring on March 31st. Well, on, I had to do some math here, I believe it was Thursday, or maybe it was Friday. The Biden administration issued remarks about the Trans Day of Visibility. President Joe Biden on Friday issued a proclamation recognizing March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility, just as he has commemorated the day every year since he has been in office. As Easter Sunday falls on March 31st this year, conservatives responded furiously, accusing the president, who is Catholic, of attempting to stifle Christian values by highlighting the event during an important religious holiday. This is from Politico having a conniption that people are upset. The controversy, which has galvanized conservatives and which transgender advocates say is manufactured, is the latest in a series of social conflicts as enveloped the political process and current electoral cycle. The White House pushed back, saying that, quote, as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American, end quote. Okay, but this is a made-up holiday. Started in 2014 when Joey Boy was the vice president. And I get it. It's its own thing. But when you have transgender people shoved in your face every day, whether it is Bruce Jenner. Oh, I'm sorry. I dead named him. Caitlyn Jenner. Whether it is this person, that person, that dude who came in the second most wins on Jeopardy. Whether it's Dick Levine giving a speech about something that's completely asinine. there, you don't need a day. You don't need a trans day of visibility. Trans are everywhere. The little janitor dude on a Nickelodeon show is a trans dude. He was a she who transitioned to a he. You have people who are like, oh, I'm non-binary, and they will let you know in no uncertain terms. You have the people who are just militant. I'm asexual. I don't subscribe to any sexual, titles or roles, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I don't care. The fact of the matter is, while Joe Biden wants to, signal his virtue far and wide about, how trans people just don't have enough visibility when it's in your face all the time. Leah Thomas has been in everybody's face. He's been naked in the faces of other women in their locker rooms where they have to see his fully intact maleness swinging between his knees. It's everywhere. There's no need for a day of visibility. And if that day of visibility happens to fall on a kind of a major Christian holiday, and I know there's people,
you started off as Wiccan.
Okay, this is where, and you, what's gotten dumb is there's people who are trying to say, well, the Bible recognizes trans people. God is non-binary. It's in the Bible. No, no. Non-binary is 100% a human creation. God does not make mistakes. People do. And if you want to talk about a trans day of visibility, this is the only transition you will see in the Bible. That is how on the third day, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, transed from fully dead to fully alive, and he resurrected, completing his mission as set forth by God to be the atonement for sin in the world. That atonement was achieved on Good Friday with the horrible, horrible death that he suffered at the hands of the Romans that was brought on by the Jewish leaders of the day. That was the atonement, and then the promise was, like I said, transing from fully dead to fully alive. And walking out of that tomb on a Sunday morning. That is what this weekend should be about. And I know there's going to be the secularists, the humanists, who are,
I don't believe in that.
Well, you know what? If I were to walk out and I were to say something very horrible about the Passover's coming up, or if I were to come out and denigrate Passover,
he's anti-Semitic.
If I were to make fun of Ramadan, just every day of Ramadan, wish people a happy Eid Mubarak, a blessed Eid Mubarak.
Oh, why do you have to be such an Islamophobe?
These people who flaunt all of their transiness, their non-binariness, their asexualness, many of them have something in common. And that's the sneaking suspicion, if they were to be evaluated by a psychiatrist or a clinical social worker, they would all be diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder. God doesn't make mistakes. People make mistakes. People reject God. And the whole idea that I was born in the wrong body, God messed up. Therefore, I will see to it that I am put into the correct body. What could be more narcissistic and rejecting of the Creator than that very action? There are people who are diagnosed with gender identity disorder, a legitimate medical condition. Many of them also have comorbidities, whether it be NPD, although many a times it's depression or bipolar. And these people go on, if they go untreated or they are fully affirmed in this delusion that they're in the wrong body. They have the wrong sex organs. Many of them still go on to engage in acts of self-harm. Because they reject what is right. They reject what makes sense. Even if you don't believe in God, just in nature. There is so much that people want to say,
oh, well, this is on God.
No. My God does not make mistakes. You make mistakes. You believe in lies, and you want to be lied to. No one can take away who you are, whether you are saying, I am this person, I am this sex, or you feel like you're in the wrong sex, you're still you. However, sometimes I think you reject who God made you to be. And so, now we are having a day where look at me, look at me, look at me coincides with look what he did for me. And we want to ignore look what he did for me, despite the fact that I am anything but worthy of this gift. We're rejecting that and celebrating look at me, look at me. Thank you for listening this week. And as always, stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there, or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in the Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com, link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.